Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So we're going to read from Mark 10, verses 46 to 52, and then John 5, 2 to 9. So Mark reads, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus. 'Your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Amen. Then John reads, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down to stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had." So then it reads in verse 5, "One man who was there who had been invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going in, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk.' At once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed.'"
Father, I thank you for this new year that you've blessed us to live out in. And God, we want to know how to live it out in accordance with your leading. So God, I pray, Lord, with excitement as we approach 2021, that you'd come speak to us, your children. Come and think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that we would hear directly from you this wonderful morning here in Brisbane and wherever everybody's watching from, in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. Amen. Well, we're closing out our series called It's a Wonderful Life. And I thought it's apt that we close this series starting life in this new year. And for those of you who I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And for those of you watching online, hi. Hi from Brisbane, Australia, where it's lovely. Totally the antithesis of everything that's being promoted in Christmas carols about snow and all of that. That doesn't happen here in Brisbane. Not at all. The title of my message today is A Lived Life. A Lived Life. Turn to somebody and encourage them. Life is for living. Now, we've been reflecting on our 2020, and I think it's good to reflect, but I think it would be a complete misnomer if we look at 2020 without addressing how we plan to live out our 2021. How do you plan to live out your 2021? How many of you in this room or online have started by making New Year's resolutions or New Year's plans? Okay, we've got about three or four yeses, but refusals to raise hands. That shows the level of commitment to those resolutions. How many of you have given up on resolutions? You're like, you know what? Resolutions don't work. Okay, there are a lot more hands going up there. They do work if they are God's resolutions, right? According to GoSkills.com, these are the top 10 New Year's resolutions. A lot of them you'll see the reason why they generally don't work is because it's a lot more the use of words more and less. Like, can I have more of this, more of this, more of this, and less waistline usually, right? So exercise more, lose weight, get organized. So a lot of them are vague. They don't have like a specific goal in mind. And so a lot of times when you have goals like this, they don't work. But the question I wanted to ask you right at the top, is not just how you want to live in 2021, but how does God want you to live in 2021? I was asking our worship team yesterday, and I want to ask you the same question. Like many of us describe, and I want to encourage you as you're listening to this, to actually think through what might be the case if you haven't done this exercise before, is to actually take time to just actually listen to God and ask Him what 2021 should look like. And usually God speaks to you in images. He may speak to you in phrases or words. He's given me many different phrases and words for myself regarding my family, our church. And for me personally, a lot of what, and I was sharing this with our worship team yesterday, a lot of what God was encapsulating in one word of the many words He gave me was enjoy. Like actually take time to pause and enjoy and soak up life and the people around me. Appreciate the fact that I'm here in Brisbane, the fact that I'm here with you all, that I have a wonderful family, an amazing wife, you know, that I'm really blessed to be in this great city, this great nation at this time. But to enjoy life. But a lot of us don't enjoy life. And the conviction came to me because our focus can often be around what we don't have rather than enjoying what we do have. You think about it, like many people in Australia, the Australian dream is to work to get money that you never get a chance to spend until you're too old to spend it. And then when you get to that age, you've got all sorts of restrictions on being able to do the things that you wanted to do, so you don't enjoy each day. And this is the thought, as I have this image up on the screen right now, is that every year is made up of months. And every month is made up of weeks, and every week is made up of days, and every day is made up of hours and hours of minutes, minutes of seconds. And those seconds usually revolve in our lives around breath. Take a deep breath, everybody, and if you're watching online, take a deep breath, inhale and exhale. Now, many of you have heard me say this before, but I want to reiterate this as we go into 2021, and I'm excited about this. That every single breath that you take is a gift from God. You did nothing to deserve it. You did absolutely nothing to earn that breath. You can earn some points by brushing your teeth and having good breath, but the Bible says in Psalms, the very last psalm, the very last verse in Psalms says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Go ahead and take another breath. Every breath is a privilege. Every breath is a gift from God. That inhalation and the exhalation from your lungs is a breath from that has been given as a gift from God. So my encouragement for you is to look at life that way. Every breath usually revolves around 1 second, 1 to 2 seconds, depending on how deep, like the Bee Gees, the great Brisbane group. One saying, how deep is your lungs? That's what they one saying, right? Depending on how deep your lungs are, determines the length of your breath or how many breaths you take in a minute. But every breath that you take is a gift from God. So if every breath counts towards the year, then you look at your life and your breaths differently. Are you all with me today? You begin to understand that those of you who are in this room and those of you who are online, and again, I encourage you, if you're watching this online and you're in Brisbane, man, you need to come join us at Logan tonight. I think to start the year off right, this is the best thing that you could do with your breaths this morning, is to actually come together with other followers of Jesus and celebrate His goodness, the giver of all life and breath. When He gave us life, what did He do? He breathed into Adam, and He breathes into us this morning. And so from these scriptures that Sammy read earlier, you're going to see the juxtaposition, the comparison between two responses from the one who desires to bring life to these two men. Both of them are in predicaments where their health is not the best. One is blind and one is unable to use his facilities, right? He's not able to use his limbs. And so what we're going to look at is two different responses, and I'm going to pause at each point and juncture just to unravel some of the questions I believe God wants to ask every single one of us this morning. And I want to encourage you to take notes. You can pull your phones out. I won't get offended. Only will get offended if you're on Angry Birds or Candy Crush this morning, all right? You can do that afterwards, all right? Or if you're ordering menu log for afterwards. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I love this passage. But I'm going to break this down for you, and I really want you guys steward the word of God. Not because I'm preaching it, but when God is speaking to you, don't let it go in one ear and out the other so you forget what God's saying, okay? Like, steward whatever God gives you. If there's one thing that I want to see change in our church is that we absorb the word of God and we steward it well, like it came straight from heaven to us. Okay, so take notes, okay? Don't rely on our ability to remember things, because if there's ever a word that's repeated, especially in the Old Testament, it is remember, because the human tendency is to forget. So remember. Okay, here we go. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. This is speaking of Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus and his disciples were together in a large crowd. Note the scenario. They're entering into a city here. There's a huge crowd around them, and they were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. A few things to note here right at the start. Large crowd, but Jesus is not distracted by large crowds in order to see the need of individuals. See, the tendency for humanity, especially in the social media-induced culture that we live in right now, is to go after crowds. Like the success of even the success of church is to draw a crowd. Like the success of our service is not successful unless we pack this building or we pack the number of viewers online. No, the success is that we meet God. That's what really matters, is that God comes and we encounter him. That's what we anchor our success to, because God is more interested in transforming individual lives. There's no point in drawing a crowd if lives aren't changed. If breaths aren't changed and transformed. And so Jesus sees in the midst of this crowd, he notices this man, Bartimaeus. And notice his name is Bartimaeus. In that time, if your name had bar as a prefix, it often meant you were son of somebody. There's a friend of the Apostle Paul called Barnabas. And Nabas means encouragement. So Barnabas meant son of encouragement. And it was a prophecy to him, because he would be a huge encouragement to Paul in his early journeys throughout his life as a missionary. But the fact his name was Bartimaeus meant that he didn't have a name allocated to himself. He was just son of Timaeus. So he was kind of nameless, and he's in a crowd. How many of us know that it's easy to approach life? When you go to your workplace, you see your workplace as a crowd. When you go to school, you see your school as a crowd. When you go on campus, you see your campus as a crowd. Even when you come to church, you see your church as a crowd, and not seeing the beautiful individuals that are within that crowd. Jesus sees the individuals within that crowd. He doesn't care necessarily about the circumstances of which he finds you. The fact of the matter is, he finds you. Nameless, faceless, in a crowd, Jesus still finds us. He finds us no matter what our socioeconomic status is. He sees us. Turn to somebody, encourage them this morning. I see you. You can do like the avatar face as well. I see you. All right. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, check this out, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So much in that statement. So much. Blind man, nameless, faceless, in a city, but he wants to stand out. I know here in Australia and in New Zealand, where I grew up, there is a term that is used. For those of you who weren't born or raised here, or some of you might not be familiar with this term, it's called the tall poppy syndrome. The tall poppy syndrome says that everybody should be at the same level. And then the moment that a poppy, a proverbial poppy, pops up, that the rest of the poppies that aren't as high, or see somebody emerge above what is the status quo, everybody cuts that person down until they're down that level. 2021 is a year, church, that we all are called to be tall poppies. That when somebody emerges in what God has called them to, we celebrate what God is doing and do not cut them down. Let me just say this. One of my mentors used to tell me all the time, small minds discuss people. Average mind discuss events. Great minds discuss ideas. Ask yourself, the people, some of the people that you surrounded yourself with in 2020, all they did was talk about other people. That's small-mindedness. And that's going to cause you to cut others down. And if you are in the midst of that talk, you better believe that the moment you leave the room, they're going to cut you down too. So come away from those relationships, the Lord would say. And so this is Bartimaeus, nameless, faceless, blind, on the roadside begging, and he still emerges with a shout, recognizing Jesus for who he is. Do you recognize Jesus for who he is this morning? What does he say? He says, Jesus, we remember from Christmas, right? Jesus, the name Jesus means God saves. So he recognizes, God, you save through this man. How does he address him? Son of David. That may mean nothing to us. But understand this, his name was Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. Nameless, faceless, just, but he recognized who he was the son of. Jesus was the son of. And he's not just the son of God, but he was son of David. Meaning he was pointing towards, in the Old Testament, the promised Messiah. So he recognized, okay, I've heard, whether I heard it through the grapevine because people wouldn't let me into the temple because I was an invalid, right? They wouldn't let me in, but I have heard that there is one coming from the line of David who will save the world. So what does he say? Jesus is it. Do you recognize Jesus for who he is this morning? Is he just a good teacher? Is he just a figure that operated with miraculous power 2,000 years ago but has nothing to do in terms of involvement in your life? Is he Lord? Is he the one who calls the shots in your life? So he shouts out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He recognizes that Jesus is the source of mercy. Listen to me, church. Don't miss this. We have to recognize Jesus for who he is. Recognize him for who he is. Because if you recognize him for who he is, you will see a transformation in your own life and every breath that you breathe. And as usual, he shouts. And how does the crowd react? They rebuke him. Told him to be quiet. Ah, shush. No one cares about you. You're nameless. You're faceless. Why would anybody want to help you out? And what was his response? Oh, you're right. Maybe I should be quiet. Okay, I'll go back to just being myself. Bartimaeus, nameless, faceless, begging. How does he respond? The Bible says that what? He shouted all the more. Other translations says, no, he shouted louder. And God is looking for a generation who will recognize him for who he is and not change their shout. In fact, they will shout louder. If there's anything that God wants to teach us, church, Every Nation Brisbane, we need to be a church that does not compromise our shout of praise. He wants us to live out on purpose. So many of us, our faith is so personal, even sometimes we don't even know about it. But he recognizes. See, you shouldn't have to force the shout. I don't shout unto God with a voice of triumph and praise because I grew up in a Christian family and I ride off of my mom and dad's shout of praise. I've got reason to praise him. When I look at 2020 and what God has brought us through as a spiritual family and as a family personally, with the losses we have experienced and that by the grace of God, he has brought us through financially, we're still here. We're still alive. We still live in a state where we can walk around malls and go to beaches without wearing masks. Do you recognize that whenever I post something on Instagram, I get people that message me from all over the world that go, you're able to go there and have people at your house and not wear a mask? Like recognizing the privilege that I have because I live here in Queensland and I'm blessed, but I'm also blessed to be a blessing, right? I attribute that to the favor of God. That's because favor is not fair, but God is so good. God is so good. And I've got a reason to shout. And not only that, but he's given me life eternal. He has rescued me from the bounds of hopelessness, insecurity, lust, and greed, and all of that I was trapped in before. Religiosity. I've got a reason personally to shout that no man can tear down my shout. But how many of you, like, if honestly, if somebody was to come up to you and say, okay, you need to quieten down your shout. And I'm not talking about an actual shout. I'm not talking about go down to Westfield and go, Jesus is Lord, you know. Jesus Christ, you know, like go down there like that. I'm not saying go down there like that. But what I am saying is like your witness, where people actually see that you follow Jesus, and not just when you're around other Jesus people. And this was Bartimaeus. There's a lot of crowd, but how come he had to be the one stand out? Because if everybody else around him was shouting praise to Jesus rather than just following him like he was Justin Bieber or something, then his shout wouldn't have been heard. Why did Bartimaeus' shout go over the top of the noise of the crowd? You know why? Because it was actual praise. He had a reason to praise him. And he praised him in advance. This is another key for 2021. Just in case you didn't realize that when you were counting down, if you are awake, or if you're not old like me, but if you're awake at the turn of the year, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year. When you said Happy New Year, that COVID-19 is still around. How many of you noticed that? Because like some of you are like, man, forget 2020. Like 21's going to be the year. And COVID-19 said, I'm still here. Like it didn't disappear. It will eventually. But just, you know, this year, we're still going to have to face trials. Will your voice get lost in the crowd? Or will your praise rise above the noise of 2021? The noise of social media, the noise of comparison with every single person that's out there. Will your shout of praise be heard by everybody who's around you? Will people know just how avid your following of Jesus is by your life that's being lived out? Or is this moment, or moments like this, when I'm with my life group, or when I'm with church people, that's the only moment that people know I follow Jesus? Sad, but it's true, right? Because our voice gets lost in the crowd. And then the moment that somebody radically follows Jesus, and I'm not talking about radically as in just being weird for the sake of being religiously weird, but I'm talking about being lavish with things like love and generosity and grace and hospitality, and just being crazy with the way that you have patience towards people who are at Boxing Day sales. Now you go ahead. Where does that come from? It comes from a shout of praise. That's where it comes from. So Jesus stopped. I want to have the sort of shout that causes Jesus to stop. See, he doesn't respond to atmosphere and loose change kind of praise. He responds to sacrifice and faith. That's what Jesus responds to. And he stops because he recognizes this man doesn't have much, but he sacrifices his dignity in the presence of this crowd in order to reach me. I'll honor that. Because you know why we can follow Jesus? It's not that he's walking around all high and mighty, because we know that he sacrificed all dignity himself on the cross in order that we may be restored. So Jesus stopped and he said, call him. It's funny how the crowd changes. Have you noticed crowds change? Like social media crowds change, public opinion changes, depending on what your favorite celebrity says. Like they may go one way or vote one way, and then whatever they say, then you follow them. So the same crowd that says, shush, it's the same crowd that says, oh, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Tides change. Why? Because there's celebrity that they were following. You know Jesus is not a celebrity. Bible says in Isaiah that you will not recognize him. He's beyond, he's one that, you know, like when you look at him, he doesn't stand out in the crowd. They were just following him because he's like the hottest thing on the market, right? Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And this is important for us to really understand. When he threw his cloak aside, see, back then, the state, the Roman the Roman Empire around the place of Palestine, they would issue these coats that would call them to be legal to beg. Okay, so the Roman authorities would not move them on. So basically, it was a tie to their identity. So it's like my ID card, I can beg here because I have this cloak. So when he threw his cloak aside, he recognized my identity is no longer tied to my begging. My identity is tied to Jesus, the Son of David, who has mercy on me. He threw that cloak aside. And what does he say? Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, this is key, okay? This is key. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And then the blind man didn't say, oh, you know, my auntie needs a new car. He didn't make a list. He didn't bust out the list. He just simply said, Rabbi, or teacher, I want to see. He was specific about what he had faith for. But what we'll notice here is that Jesus says to him, okay, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. And this is what gets me. Like, most people miss this part, which is, I think, the most important part of this whole encounter. He receives his sight, and what happens? He follows Jesus. So he doesn't just see with his iris and his pupil and his cornea. He doesn't just see with the actual eye, but he sees in his spirit that this is the man that I should follow, and that is the whole purpose for my life. How many of you know there are people in church that can see physically but still can't see spiritually because they're caught in the crowd mentality? One of the things that God showed me prophetically in 2020 that he was doing in the body of Christ and even here in Every Nation Brisbane, and it shifted the way I pastor as well, is that he was turning the spotlight off of whatever is on stage, and he's turning it on the church, on the crowd. For that 5 months that we couldn't meet in person, that we had to meet, that we had to broadcast it out of my basement, like, God was checking the reality of, look, if I'm the one building my church, your people will be activated, because the church is about people. It's not about drawing crowds without juggling act with this holy circus that we can put on, because we're missing the point. And unfortunately, some churches fell into that trap. Or we have to throw a bigger circus online just to attract people. My pastor used to say to me, look, Nelly, if you have to feed them apples to get them in the door, you'll have to feed them toffee apples to keep them there. We're not that sort of church. I just want you to see. And now every Sunday, I'm going to preach this gospel. Whoever's preaching is going to preach this gospel until everybody in Brisbane can see. That's what it's all about. But it's not relying on me. You know what? It's not just because, see, the point is, many of us would say, okay, I envision this sort of, this is the way things should be. And then they put that on me when that's actually the vision for you. You are the church. People telling us, oh, you know, you got to have life groups like this, that, this, and that. What about you? Are you running a life group? Like, are you training to run a life group? Are you training to make disciples? When's the last time you preached this gospel to evangelize to somebody? No, that's your job, Pastor. Now, yeah, okay, I take that on board. As a Christian, not just the pastor, but as a Christian, because I see, I'll teach people to follow Jesus the way that I follow Jesus. But that's on all of us. If you are a follower of Jesus, and if you're watching this and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, don't waste 2021. If there's a lesson that God is trying to teach us from 2020, is that we've made all sorts of crazy excuses. Let me go to the second guy, right? Because we need to recognize Jesus for who he is. This man recognized Jesus for who he is without even seeing him. He didn't say, okay, if you give me sight, then I'll follow you. He said, Jesus, son of David, had mercy on me. I recognize you're the one that can give me sight. The question I ask you at this point is, can God's might be seen alive in his church? Can people see this sort of Jesus that can transform lives, that can help blind people to see physically and spiritually? I'm believing some of us in this room will lay hands on the sick and see them healed. We'll actually pray for blind people and see the power of God move out and give them sight. The issue has been, before we get to this guy at Bethesda, and I'm winding this up, the issue has been is that as the church, and I take responsibility as a pastor in this city to help bring the alignment of God's purposes and his church back together again, because for whatever reason, we've been more about tithes than lives, marketing than we are about people, drawing crowds rather than individuals seeing. And then 2021, that's got to change. I heard this quote earlier this week from a philosopher, Sam Pascoe. He observed throughout history, he said, Christianity began in Palestine as a fellowship, a relationship, and then moved to Greece and became a philosophy, a way to think. Afterward, it moved into Rome and became an institution, a place you go, and then to Europe, where it became a culture, a way of life. And finally, it settled in America, where it has become an enterprise, a business. Church, we're not that. We're people. We're not trying to build a crowd. We make disciples while Christ builds his church, and his church is his people. And we've got to be interested in people's lives and the breath of people's lives around us. If we see anybody around us, and I know that people here in this room and watching online are being challenged right now to make your breath count for God. But the way that you can help make your breath count for is to help others around you who are breathing to death and not living. John chapter 5, we read about this guy at Bethesda, right? And he's by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. Now check this out, okay? So John is the writer that's heavily involved in symbolism. It's the same John that writes this gospel is the same John who was the revelator who wrote the book of Revelation. So he only highlights seven miracles. There are many miracles. John even says it himself. There's more miracles and more stories that I could tell that would fill up so many volumes, but I've chosen to highlight these ones. And so he highlights seven. Seven is the number of perfection. This is one of those miracles, right? And so as he's talking to this, writing this down, he has purposely included certain details as symbols as well. Because this is the way John rolls. He's kind of like that dude. So they're in Jerusalem, capital. Sheep gate, it's one of the gates of the wall where sheep come in. Who's our shepherd? Jesus, right? And there's a pool, and the place is called Bethesda. The pool's Bethesda. We remember when we were talking about at Christmas, when you see Beth, it means house, right? Bethesda means the house of mercy. Okay, that's symbolic. Sheep coming in to the house of mercy. And as they come into the house of mercy, there's five roofed colonnades. And this is significant as well. Because five is also a number that symbolizes around mercy and fulfillment, right? And so in these lay a multitude of invalids. So the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And then there's one man who's been there for invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time. How long was it? 37. Can you imagine 37 years just sitting there like you're lame? And as we read that the pool was actually the source of, you know, like it was a place for healing. You're in the house of mercy. 37 years. Like maybe the first week you're like excited. Wow, I'm in the house. How many of you know you can be 37 years in the house, in this house, the house of mercy, and not experience the mercy because you're in the crowd? And this is the way many people live, not just 2021, but 37 years. You're in the venue, but you haven't experienced the breakthrough. He's just sitting there. He's in the venue. Being in the venue doesn't mean you're a Christian. You know that, right? Being in KFC doesn't make you a quarterback. In the same way, people say, well, I go to church. You're like, you ask, are you a Christian? Yeah, I go to church. You're in the venue. You're in the house of mercy, but you're not a living stone. You're not alive. You're not a part of the church. You're not built into the church. And Jesus says so. See, this wasn't like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus shouted out, Son of David, have mercy on me. What does this man do? He's just sitting there. And Jesus, in his mercy, he's just like, he notices him. He notices you even if you don't shout. Because you don't earn his love through your shout. You shout because you've earned it. You've gotten his love. Not earned it, but you've gotten his love. That's the reason why you shout. And so this man is sitting there, and Jesus rolls up to him in his mercy. And says, do you want to be healed? How many of you want to be healed? Verse 7, the sick man answered him. Did he say yes? Well, yes, I'd love to be healed. But he said, sir, I have no one. I mean, those four words alone, right? I have no one. I have no one to put me into the pool. Can you hear the violins? Can you hear the wambulance pulling up? I'm getting angry there. Just calm down. Someone will take you to the pool. I have no one to put me into the pool. And when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me. I mean, like, excuses, man. The salvation of the one that can bring the healing and can save him is standing right in front of him, and all he has for him is excuses. And all we have for 2021 is excuses. Just excuses. Well, you know, I want to lose this, and I want to gain this, and I want to follow God, but I have no one. No one to put me in the pool. All by myself. You can just hear it, right? Excuses. I've noticed in my own life, when people ask me for something, or and then I give them this answer. Any of you given them that answer before? Oh, we'll see. That spoiler alert, that means no. Just say no. We'll see. And what's even worse is when people say, yeah, right? And I can tell they're lying when they say it three times. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you aren't coming. Yeah, yeah, I'll be there. And the weight of your words is just excuses. Just, we'll see. People who use, and this is a conviction that God gave me too, so I'm not just giving this to you, but God gave me. You got to stop saying we'll see, because the people who say we'll see, they never see. They never see. The question was, do you want to be healed? And he rattled off excuses. Jesus asks us today, do you want to live in 2021? And a lot of us will rattle off our excuses. Well, I can't because I really like this, or, you know, I'm allergic to this, or I'm allergic to hard work, or, you know, I can't do this, or it requires effort, or, you know, I like my sleep, or, you know, you just sleep through 2021 as well. So I just prefer to, like, sit in the venue when the pool is right there and just excuse myself right through 2021. Stop making excuses. Stop it. Every breath that you are breathing right now counts. And if the next breath that you take is going to be filled with another excuse, that's going to lead to another day of excuses, another week of excuses, another month of excuses, another year has gone by, and you would say, forget 2021. Life happens. Stuff is going bad all around the world every year. It doesn't change the fact that that breath that you are breathing right now is a gift from God. It doesn't change that. And Jesus said to him, you know what? I didn't ask that question. Just get up and pick up your mat and walk. And that's what he's saying to all of us now. You know, he's just saying, you know what? I didn't come here for all your excuses. Just get up, pick up your bed, and let's go. Let's go. Your excuses are going to get you nowhere this year. Whatever your mat is, what like that bed is a bed of excuses. Get up. Stop making excuses. Pick up your bed and let's go. And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. He's like, oh, okay. Now that day was the Sabbath. And here come the Jews. The Jews. They come on through and they said to the man who had been healed, is it the Sabbath? And is it not lawful to take up your bed? So they start complaining that, you know, like, how come he healed on the Sabbath? We all know as followers of Christ, the Sabbath is more than day. The Sabbath is Jesus. Because the day is supposed to be a day with Jesus, not on what you do and don't. Like, get over that, okay? So he's trying to say, you know what? Religious people who sit in the venue and it's all about the do's and don'ts rather than the relationship we get to have with the King of Mercy, with the King who embodies Bethesda, are totally missing the point of life. Let's not be church. Let's not be ones who will do the bare minimum. Like, we will extend ourselves to gain finances, to gain muscle, but will not extend ourselves for what counts the most, which is our spiritual journey with Jesus. That's what should be on the top of every list that you make in 2021, is to raise your hallelujah, to raise your shout, and not be ashamed of this gospel that we get to carry that transforms our lives. Are you going to start living, or are you going to keep breathing to death and let 2021 happen to you? There's three types of people in this room and online right now. There are those that make it happen, those that watch it happen, and those who wake up at 2022 and go, what happened? When will we stop making excuses for not living the life that God has given his life for us to live? Here's the thing. We don't just have a God that preaches this to us. We have a God who sent his son to lay down his life radically and live out his 33 years on this planet in order to save us, not just to model it for us, but to save us. And the best life that you can live is a life laid down. So are you ready to live, Ian Brisbane? Are you ready to live this year? Are you ready to throw away excuses? Are you ready to cast your coat to the side and say, you know what, I'm following Jesus wholeheartedly today. I'm not trying to hype you up right now. I'm trying to be a vessel that God would use to bring the conviction of his Holy Spirit for us to start living as a church and start living a life that others can see the light and the salt of the world in us. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak up. Say so. Start living now. We are not trying to build a crowd here at Ian Brisbane. We're trying to touch individual lives like Bartimaeus. Don't get caught up in the crowd mentality and hide your lack of spiritual depth in the crowd and not be challenged to grow. This is the sort of message that, again, I love you as your pastor, but come on, man, we need to grow up. We need to wake up. We need to start living. Start living this life that God has gifted us to live. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of life. Father, I thank you. We started this whole series in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to kill off all purpose for life. He comes to steal our reason for life. And he comes to destroy purpose. But Lord, you give us life and life abundantly, life in its fullness. And Lord, today we commit as a church to living this life that you have given us. No more excuses, God. We're not committing to perfection because we're far from perfect, but we're committing to leaning into your grace, Lord, in order that we live this life out boldly the way that you've designed and desire for us to live. I just want to say this prophetically for those who are watching online, even in this room today, there are entrepreneurial things that God is releasing in the spirit, like business ideas that God has put on many of our hearts to step out in. But it's not just to step out and make money. It's to step out and be the salt and light, even in those communities where because of your boldness to step out in what God has for you as a business person, as somebody who is starting, and it's not just business. It's in different organizations, different things that God is going to release to us. It's not just financial. God is wanting you to see things spiritually, that he puts you in certain spheres in order to change the atmosphere of that specific realm that he puts you into. It's entrepreneurial, but it's not just business. What I mean by that is there's an innovation that's coming to many of us that whatever we step out in, we will innovate and we will get ideas from heaven that God gives to us in order that we may change the atmosphere of that specific sphere. So, Lord, I pray for every single innovator in this room. Since some of us in education are called to innovate with the way that we educate and the way that we even embrace discipleship within the educational realm. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those of us in areas of community and not-for-profit, Lord God. I thank you that you're releasing entrepreneurial things there, Lord, in order to see transformation, innovative ways to transform society in the realm of community ministry as well, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the business people in this room and watching online, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you're transforming our thinking where we might have thought just economically, Lord, you are transforming us to think a lot more spiritually and how you've called us to take dominion right from the start in Genesis 1 in that sphere of influence, Lord God, that you will cause us to move from small-mindedness to start to think broadly and greatly, Lord God, as to how you're going to use us to transform nations. You're not playing games anymore, Lord God. You're coming here to activate your people, to transform Brisbane in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.